Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to have some rain, finally. I don't know about you. I mowed yesterday. I mowed a lot of dust, not much else. But it's good to have some rain coming for us. You know, for those of you that don't know, this is our Commitment Sunday. We have been going now for almost 6 weeks towards an all-in campaign. God has done some amazing things. I mean, honestly, for us, it's a miraculous type stuff. Some of you know, some of you don't know that we have signed a purchase agreement to buy Blue Falls, the event center, and they're in the 14 acres that it sits on. And so for us, this all-in campaign is really a large deal, we might say. But it's a time for us, too, that we have been praying that what happens in this place is that we're not so caught up with the numbers as we are the amount of faith we grow in as a congregation. So it's just one of those critical points that's really been exciting. For us, this campaign, you know, for some congregations, campaigns are ordeals. This one has just been a joy. I mean, just so much fun to share it as a congregation. And when we talk about all in, it truly has been that the congregation has just bought in, supported, been a part of that. And I just want to thank the team. We'll do some more of that next week as a celebration where we reveal the numbers. But it's just been a wonderful thing. And just thanks to you as a congregation. Thanks for your willingness to step up. Thanks for your willingness to be a part and to be encouraging along the way. It's truly been awesome for us. You know, one of my favorite movie trilogies is Bourne Identity. I love the spy kind of stuff, and sometimes the shoot 'em ups. Don't get mad at me for that. It's just born in me, I guess. But I remember that in the initial movie where it shows him finding out who he is, he wakes up on a shipping vessel, and to his surprise, he has no memory at all of who he is. And what he finds out is that he doesn't like very much the person that he is and what he has grown to be. So he really was awakened to a new world, but it was not a new world of blessing. It was a new world almost of a curse, because it was so difficult for him to kind of rationalize and put together who he was, what he had become, in essence of what he thought he should be. And so the whole trilogy is about him trying to move away from that into a life that more fitted him, if you will. Now, in many ways, friends, what we may not understand is that you and I are more connected to Jason Bourne than we think. And I want to tell you why. Because most of us today have awakened to a situation that was not so much our choosing as it was our blessing. Now, let me say that again. Most of us have awakened today to a situation that was not so much our choosing, but it was our blessing. Now, I know what you're thinking. Rylan, you're romanticizing Pendleton a lot in that way. But I want to speak to you a little bit today, because the title of the teaching today is, Why Us? I mean, why us, God? Because honestly, when you look at Pendleton, we find out that we're really being placed in a blessed place, a place of great opportunity. Let me give you some figures. Pendleton, Indiana was listed as one of the most charming small towns in Indiana. And I agree with that. Second, the population is a manageable thing. It's 4,253. But the South Madison School Corporation draws from 25,813. Now, the median income for South Madison School Corp is $63,769. Now, I want you to say that with me, $63,769. And the reason I want you to understand that is because I'm going to give you some figures in a moment that compares us to the rest of the world. Now, the percentage of people with a high school diploma is right at 95%, which is extraordinary. And the percentage of people with a bachelor's degree or better is over 31%. Now, the median house price in Pendleton and South Madison School Corporation, the median house price is $130,000. Now, I want to compare that just so we have a sense that what we have to understand is that you and I woke up blessed this morning because of where we have been placed in this life. The rest of the world, almost half the world, that's over 3 billion people, friend, please hear me, over 3 billion people live on less than $2.50 a day. At least 80% of all humanity lives on less, that's 80% of all humanity on the face of this earth live on less than $10 a day. According to UNICEF, almost 30,000 children will die today due to poverty. Nearly 1 billion people entered the 21st century, and when you compare this to a high school diploma and a graduate degree, listen to this, nearly 1 billion people entered the 21st century unable to read a book or sign their names. 1.6 billion people, that's one quarter of all humanity, they live without any electricity. In 2005, the wealthiest 20% of the world, that would be us, we accounted for 76.6% of all the private consumption of goods and services in the world. And the poorest 20%, they accounted for just 1.5%. Now, I want to tell you today, our dilemma is not so much our born identity as it is our born influence. Because you see, we have been born into a sector of society, and I don't want us to bemoan that, because what I want us to do is understand how blessed we really are. How God has placed us in a place with these ridiculous potential. And what it does for us as a congregation is it allows us to recognize something. You and I have been placed in a place that has great potential for you and me to make a great difference for the kingdom of God. That's what we are. We're blessed. I don't want us to bemoan it. I don't want you leaving here feeling guilty about it. Ellen and I just had a conversation with a gentleman the other night who has just come back from India. Now, if you've never traveled to a third world country, and in particular India, if you've never traveled there, I want you to know the culture shock is so overwhelming for you that most people, when they come back, can't get over it for an extended period of time. I don't want you to feel guilty today. I want us to feel blessed today, but I want us to also recognize that we have a responsibility to do something with what God has given us. And that's what really the All In campaign is about. Because as a congregation, we recognize it, that the Lord is blessing us. We know it's summer. We know that people travel and are gone. But honestly, friends, it's amazing to me what God keeps doing in this place as we are finding people revitalized to the church and revitalized to Him. So today, I want us to kind of just take a moment and say, okay, Catalyst, what then do we need to do to make a difference in this community for Christ? Now, in 1 Thessalonians 2, which is this really wonderful book, it's probably the earliest of all the letters in the New Testament. And this is a place that it's just this brand new church. I mean, this is a church plant, much like Catalyst. And Paul has poured his life into there, but Paul is trying to give them some instructions about what it means if they have a ministry that matters. And so he says this is crucial for us to understand, because what Paul wants the Thessalonians to understand is that we need to make a tangible difference. It's not just about saying, oh, we pray for you. It's more than that. It's about what do we do for you in the name of Christ. Now, here's what Paul says. He gets right to the answer of the equation, if you will, in the first two words of the first verse of 1 Thessalonians 2. Listen to who he says. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. Now, what Paul says as he opens this, he says, you know. You see, Paul understands that, honestly, this question of making a difference will never be found in and of ourselves. It will always be found in what are the transformed lives around us. Paul wants us to know that there's proof to the power of the gospel, and the proof of that power of the gospel is watching persons' lives as they change around us. That this Jesus does something inside us that makes us different. It grows us. It changes us. It causes us to evolve in the gospel. Three times in the first six verses of this chapter, Paul uses the phrase, you know, because he wants them to understand you are the living proof, the credibility, and the effectiveness of the gospel. Mine and your lives changed, but mine and your lives not changed for ourselves, but changed so in order we can make a difference for Jesus. You see, we must evaluate our efforts by asking ourselves, how are we investing in other people for the good of Christ? Our motivation, friends, cannot be ourselves, but it has to be about how Christ enables us and empowers us and equips us to help bring change and transformation in each other. Now, Jessica mentioned a while ago that there is a ladies' group that'll be going down to have dinner together next Wednesday night. But what I want you to know is that speaks of their desire to get together, but what it doesn't tell you is the life transformation that's happening in this group of women. Because God is using their support for one another, their care for one another, their love for one another, and we're watching literally just women evolve into the women that Christ can enable them to be. Because you see, that's what our efforts are for. It's not so that you and I can gather together. It's not so that we can just feel really good as we get huggies and wuggies from everybody. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, there's wonder in that, and it's awesome for that. But please hear me, Catalyst. God didn't place us here for us. God placed us here so that we can make a difference in this community. I've got to tell you, about 5 months ago, we had talked about serving opportunities in the life of Catalyst, and honestly, we're blessed. And just to share with you that in most congregations, 30 to 35% of people fill all the volunteer positions. At Catalyst, over 80% of this church volunteers. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it, Cindy? I mean, it really is. It's incredible. But after we shared about this, there was a woman who had come to the church this day, and she walked up to me after it was over, and I'll never forget, I'm standing at the back door, and she says to me, "I just have one question to you. What are you going to do for me?" And I looked at her, and I thought she was kidding. She wasn't kidding. And I said, "We never ask that question here." I said, "We ask one question. God, what do you need us to do for the goodness of the kingdom?" And we're committed to that. We want to raise up people who want to give back. We want to raise up a church that understands we're not here for us. We have a burden that we believe a transformed life can make a difference. And we believe that there is no person on the face of this earth that Jesus Christ cannot change and transform. You see, that's our belief. That's why we do what we do. You know what? I was having lunch with a friend the other day, and they had just had grandchildren. And well, it wasn't lunch. It was over at Blue Falls, in fact. And we were having a conversation about grandkids. And we were talking about, can you ever imagine how much a grandchild can change your life? Now, let's just do a very scientific poll here. One of those quantitative ones that are going to have just great reliability on this. And I just want to ask you this question. How many of us would agree that having a child or grandchild has never changed your life? Now, how many of us would agree that having a grandchild or a child would change your life forever? You see, scientifically, we have concluded, quantitatively, officially, we have concluded that children make a difference in our lives. Paul says, I want you to know that that's exactly what he believes about the credibility and the effectiveness of the gospel, because Paul believes it can change every life. And that's what we're about. If we want to be effective, friends, the truth is, we will never fail, Catalyst. We will never fail if we have used our lives and our resources to invest and care for other people in the name of Jesus. Let's pay close attention to this. Because honestly, what we must do is be gracious in acknowledging that God has blessed us. I mean, He has blessed us. And He's blessed each of us with something different. Let's be honest. That may be wealth. That may be skillful hands. That may be the ability and compassion to care for others. It may be the ability to teach. It may be the ability to lead, to organize. It might even be a space and facility called Blue Falls. God may just bless us that way. You see, there's a myriad of ways that God blesses us with opportunities to do good in His name. You see, what God has given us, please hear me, what God has given us is not so important as how we use what God has given us for His sake and for His gospel. When Paul says, you know, Paul says you and I need to resonate with that. We need to have a sense that God's changed us, Jeremy, you know, that He's made a difference, man, that we woke up different today than we were yesterday, because this man, Jesus, resides in us by the power of His Holy Spirit. And so Paul says, you know. Now, I wanted to tell you something. This is crazy, because it's interesting here that Paul transitions from this statement and he goes to verse 2. And we're only going to do two verses today. Some of you say, amen, hallelujah. Okay. But listen to what he says, because it's really Paul telling them, I want you to know, it would have been easier for us if we hadn't have come here. Now, listen to what he says. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously. Now notice the phrase he uses. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. Now notice what he says, because he comes back to them. He says, I want you to know, you already know this, but I'm telling you again. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you His gospel in the face of strong opposition. Now, friends, if you want to better understand this verse, you have to go back to Acts 16. So just write Acts 16 by this verse, because this is the groundswell from which Paul is speaking. And there we find that Paul comes into Acts 16, and there is a young girl there possessed by a spirit. But what it did, it gave her the capacity to predict the future. And there were men who were literally pimping her in order to make money. They were not benefiting her. They were pimping her. And Paul recognized this. So Paul speaks to her and he calls down in the name and the power of Christ over her. And she was delivered from the evil spirit. But here's what happened. The money well dried up. So much so that Paul and his companions were eventually arrested. They were beaten. They were severely flogged. Now, what does that mean? That means they were whipped to the extent that the flesh of their backs was splayed open. And they were imprisoned with feet in their stocks. And you see, in all probability, Paul still wore the bruises of this. Certainly, there was the stripes on his back for his ministry in Philippi. And the Thessalonians would have remembered the damage that had been done to him in the name of Christ. Now, I want you to know, once again, Paul says, you know, because they had seen the bruises. They had observed the stripes on his back. You see, they understood what Paul had paid for them, for the good of the gospel. They knew this wasn't a cheap or a shallow gospel when it came to the personal price he had paid for it. And certainly, they could have understood. They could have understood why Paul may have shied away from it, from sharing it again, or walking into a place that was close to where they had been, knowing that the ramifications from this could be so great. But notice what he says in the last part of verse 2. He says, but. Another phrase says, yet. I want you to know this is a huge transitional word in the original language here. It's one of those contrasts. He said it's so powerful in this contrast that you would take notice if Paul said this to you and me in a common language. He says, but. With the help of our God, we dared to tell you His gospel in spite of strong opposition. Now notice the phrase, with the help of our God. You see, you get a sense that Paul has absolutely understood something and was dependent upon something, and that was the reliability of God. Now I want you to go back to Acts 16 with me, okay? I want you to go back because if you can understand Acts 16, the last part of it, you're going to understand why Paul has such reliability on God. Said about midnight that this has happened right after their torture. They're in stocks in the prison. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open. Now, I love this phrase, and everybody's chains came loose. Don't you love that? And the jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. And listen, in that day, if you were the jailer and anyone escaped, you knew it meant your life. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sir, what must I do?" Don't you love this? And he just simply asked him, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And I ask you something. Do you think Jesus may have changed his life? And he took them and he washed their wounds, and then immediately he and all his family were baptized. And the jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he was so filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Do you get an understanding now of why Paul understood the reliability of God? Do you get a sense that he dared to come? Now notice that word, because that word is a huge word in this phrase. And this word dare literally has a twofold meaning to it. It means that he came to share with them with great courage, but it also means with great confidence in the message he was sharing. See, for Paul, the message was bigger than him. Notice what he says. He referred to the gospel as his gospel. He understood that this was God's story just being spoken by him. You see, what this is not a story written by women or men. It's not a story that comes from human origin. It's a story written by God's design and God's purpose for all humanity to come to Him. That's why it's so important for us to hear those stories. In fact, you heard something about the lemonade sale, and you'll hear a little bit more about that. But I was so taken by Amber and Brittany's post when they talked about that yesterday at the lemonade sale that you're going to hear a little bit more about, that they spent all day talking about the church and what God was doing. You see, that's God's story being spoken through them. And that's what you and I do. It's not our story. It's God's story and what He's done through us and in us. And that's why Paul in Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. You see, he believed with such strong conviction, he believed with such courage and confidence, that he had to go to Thessalonica, even as he had been punished and beaten and whipped. He had to go. You see, my friends, we must always understand that the expansion of God's kingdom must never be the thing that sometimes has to override our comfort and our ease. And that is why we're stepping out. That's why we're trusting and saying, God, we believe that you have something for us. And here's the wonderful thing about this campaign is that we believe that it is enough for us to sacrifice in our giving and to make an effort so that we can raise the funds necessary. And part of that reason is just walking in the door right now. It's a part of a legacy that we believe in. It's a place that we believe God will allow our children and our children's children to find out about Jesus, to be married, to be baptized. And in the same way that Paul says, friends, we say we're not ashamed of the gospel because we believe it is the power of God for everyone who believes. Now, honestly, friends, the truth of the matter is it's a powerful example in Thessalonians. It was a powerful example of Paul's life being motivated with his commitment to share the gospel. And Catalyst, it's the same for us today. We must ask the question, why us? I mean, why us? Why, God, have you blessed us? Why did you allow us to wake up this morning in such a blessable place? Why, God? And the truth of the matter is, we understand we have been given so much, God, we must do something in response to how you've blessed us. We believe that you've given us potential and possibility. And oh, God, this is what we want to do. We want to use it for you. Now, listen, I want you to meet some folks who are helping us do that. And it's our children and our students. But first, I see Gene is making his way. So, Gene, you can bring them on up if you want to, man. Bring the whole crew. Yeah. And I just want Gene to be able to share with you a little bit about what's happening and what the students are doing. And then right after that, Amanda Hayhurst is going to come up and interview a couple of the kids. But, Gene, let's grab this mic and come on up, man. Go ahead, buddy.
I'll just hang here. Hey, good morning, Catalyst. I just want to echo earlier what we said. We have an amazing youth and children's ministry. Just love these kids to death. They challenge us in so many ways, and we wanted to bring them up and just say thank you to them. As we were going through the stewardship series and we were talking about the all-in and trying to understand what's a good commitment for us to make, most of us don't have jobs up here, right? But we started looking at our gifts and how God can use us. And I'll tell you what, this is some of the hardest working kids I have ever met. And so what we've come together and committed to as a team is we're going to do 12 fundraisers over the course of the next 3 years. And we've already got it on the calendar. They came up with this long list of really creative fun ideas that not only help raise funds, but also give back to the community. So there were some other really neat things that came out of that. But we just wanted to say thank you to them for their commitment to do that. And then also, I just wanted to brag about one of our leaders. All the money that the youth bring in and commit this week, one of our leaders came out of nowhere and said, you know what, we're going to double that. I'm going to double that personally, my family. And so all the kids were digging through the car seats and things like that. So we just wanted to bring them up and say thank you guys for being all in. We love you. We appreciate you. And you are an integral part of this congregation. We're all in this together, and we just want to celebrate them. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. You're awesome. and we appreciate you. Hey, I want you to see a video before Amanda comes up. And just to watch a video of what some of our children are doing in an effort to raise money.
I decided I needed to do my part and raise money for Catalyst because it is important to me to have enough space and opportunity to welcome the new people in the community. The more new people that come, the more can be saved and find God. That should be our Christian goal. I raised $200 by starting Pennies for a Purpose. Every penny counts. I plan to do multiple lemonade stands throughout the summer and even write a book to sell copies. I'm also willing to do chores for people too. Thank you to everyone who has donated money to not only my cause, but to the church itself. I appreciate all the adults giving money to Catalyst so that we all can have a part in building God's kingdom for our future generations. That is so cool. I love Catalyst because I get the opportunity to learn about God, learn Bible verses, and hang out with my buds. I always feel the love when I'm at church. It makes me happy to be a part of an amazing group. I always look forward to Sundays. Catalyst is awesome! Hello guys, it's Ryder Garner here.
Go ahead, Amanda.
Can you hear me? Yeah, okay. My name is Amanda Hayhurst, and I serve on the Catalyst Children's Team as the elementary director. And I get the opportunity to work with all these amazing kids on a regular basis. And it is so exciting to see their enthusiasm for this All-In campaign. And we are blessed by all of them. And I just want to take a moment to say thank you to all of you that are working so hard and have worked so hard in finding our new location for us, because we think it's going to be perfect. I brought up here on stage two special kiddos that are going to share with you themselves. Mia Madeline is my daughter, and Mia Bowers is her friend, and they did a few things and brought their money today for the campaign. So I think they're a little excited. Yeah, we came to practice yesterday, and Madeline was like, "Can I hold the mic?" I was like, "That's the most exciting part, right?" Okay, so why did you guys decide to donate to the All In campaign?
Well, because I love the church and I want kids that don't know much about God to have fun learning more about God.
Madeline?
I want kids to have fun and be with friends at Catalyst and get to know God.
Very good. And what did you girls do to raise your money that you brought?
Well, I got my money from my birthday, my tooth fairy, and I have a whole envelope in my purse.
Very good. Madeline, how did you raise yours? What did you guys do?
We did a lemonade stand. Three of my friends did it, and my brother did it with me, and we sold lemonade and snacks.
Lots of snacks, let me add, from our pantry. I'm so glad that they are excited about this. And one more thing. No, you don't tell. So let me take this opportunity. They would like to say another thing. What would you like to say to everyone in the audience that has helped make this all possible for us? You may hold it for now.
Thank you.
So, and these two are among many that have brought their donations today to share in the All In campaign. So I will just leave you with this, Catalyst. The kids from Catalyst are all in.
I'm going to see if I can do this. I don't know if I can yet. This is not planned. Everybody just trembled a little bit. Come here, Ty and Rye. Come up here and sit with me for a second. Come on, we'll just sit right here. Come on up, guys. You sit here. Ty, you come on the other side. Okay, first things first. I don't want to talk about money
first. And if Mia and Madeline were here, I would ask them this question. I get the greatest joy in the world out of watching you guys worship. You know, it moves me. It moves me in an amazing way. Tyler, tell me what it is that moves you in worship, man. Because I watch you worship. And when you lift your hands, tell me what it is that moves you when you do it.
God.
I know. Tell me why, man. What do you feel?
Happiness. Grateful. Peace.
You know what? You are wise beyond your years, buddy. Right? I know you do the same thing. I know that when you worship, I know that there's something different that happens in your heart. Can you kind of tell me what that's about?
It's just from my heart where I feel deep down inside.
Yeah, yeah. I got a feeling one of these guys is going to be a pastor. Also an author, evidently. And I think Rye was ready to go on for a few minutes, don't you, a while ago? Now, guys, yesterday you had a lemonade stand, didn't you?
Yep.
And what was it, from 11 to what?
11 to 1.
How much did you earn, man?
$340.
Wow, is that amazing, gang? I'm going to tell you. We had a picture made with them at the place, and we posted it online. And did you know, Rye, that a friend of ours in Ohio saw it, and they are going to send you a check for $100? Because they're so moved by what you're doing. Friends, I just want you to know, you know, Randy Alcorn says in his book that we've been reading, The Treasure Principle, he says, where will young people learn about giving if adults don't talk about it? If they don't give witness to that fact in their lives, where will they learn? You know what's great about this place? We're learning from our children about giving and sacrifice and being generous. And I don't know about you, but I can't thank them enough. Can we give them another round of applause? Love you guys. Thanks, guys.
You don't know something? The All-In campaign has been phenomenal, hasn't it? I mean, it really has. It's been all. I mean, who can imagine talking about money for 5 weeks in a row? And you not being where you're even throwing something at me at the final part. You know, but here's the deal. It's been amazing what God's been doing. And that just doesn't end with you. Because it's been with Ellen and me. It's so funny because you remember the first Sunday I was here, I said, Ellen and I are really kind of ahead of the curve on you because we've already talked about, you know, what we believe is right, and we're already trying to take steps for what should happen. And it's amazing. God's changed that two times in the last 5 weeks. And the last one was just this past Wednesday. And I'm going to read you an email I got from Ellen at 11 Thursday, Wednesday morning. She told me about something. She goes, plus, in capital letters, I cannot wait to share with you tonight. We're going to change our 3-year pledge. She didn't say, I want to talk to you about it. She didn't say, howdy doody. She didn't say, as my mother would say, kiss my foot. No, sirree. She just said, we're going to change our 3-year pledge. And then she just says this. It came from a scripture that I read this morning because I had left early for a meeting. And God reminded me once again, Rylan, of His abundant care and faithfulness to us over our entire married life. And the scripture that was given to me, Luke said, give and it will be given to you. And Luke, Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. And then she just ended it by saying, I do love you, Rylan Everett Daniels. And who's not going to agree with that, you know? You see, God's done some amazing things, friends, throughout this journey. He's done it in my life, He's done it in Ellen's life, and He's done it in yours. God has challenged us. He's challenged us to give sacrificially because that's what we've asked of everybody across the board. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter the amount. It's about our hearts. And now it's time. It's amazing, isn't it? We come to the place where it's time to make our commitments. It's time for us as we have prayed and asked over it, and the worship team is going to lead us in worship. I'm going to ask the elders to a couple of elders to come forward, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in a moment. But I'm humbly asking, if you have not filled out a commitment card, or if you not have not already gone online to the site and you were able to fill out that amount and do it online, I'm asking that now you would do that and that you would bring your commitment card forward in a moment. Second, in a moment, I'm going to ask the elders. John and Joe are here today, and we have a commemorative coin for everyone in the church. It is a coin that says from us to you, it's not a great deal, but it matters a great deal. Because this is our way to say to you, thank you. And we want you to hold on to it. Because you know what I want you to do? I want you to see it in a few years. And I want us to look back in awe at what God's done because of this. And I want us to hold on to it because it's something tangible that we can hold on to and say, God, thank you for this opportunity. It's not a burden, God. It's like Paul said, with great courage, we come to you because we have great confidence in you. And we hope that it holds a prominent place for you so that some weeks and months, you and I can still be giving God thanks. Now, to each and every one of you, I want to say something on behalf of the elders and the staff. Just thank you, Catalyst. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you for your sacrifice in helping to make this campaign a success. And remember this, Our success is not about the amount of resources reached. It is about the amount of faith we have grown in as God's people. And that success, I know, has already been accomplished in each and every one of us. Each and every one of us that have truly placed ourselves before the Lord, and now we are responding in obedience to what He has challenged us to do. And for that, I say to each one of you, my goodness, I love you. And I thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I'm going to ask all of us now to stand as the worship team will lead us in worship. And we're going to do this just like we do in communion, and the children will start us, and they will come forward, circle around, and then circle out. And for us, we will just circle back to our seats, and I will close us with a prayer at that point. So I'm going to ask the worship team now, if they would, let me just say a simple prayer, and then we will begin to make our commitments. Father, we sit in this place today, awed and humble at your goodness. We realize we woke up blessed this morning. And we have a great awareness of how fortunate we truly are. And the blessings of knowing you and sharing this journey with you. As a congregation, God, we recognize your hand and favor upon us. We believe you have a vision and a plan for Catalyst. And we desire that you use us to expand your kingdom and touch lives for the good of the gospel. Our all-in campaign is a response to that, and our hope was to secure land for a place of permanence. But Lord, you far exceeded our plan, and now a whole new place of permanence and legacy sits before us. God, we cannot thank you enough. And we ask now that you bless and multiply our gifts as you did the fishes and the loaves of the small boy who gave you his all. Please know we give these gifts with great love and obedience to you. And we have tried to recognize throughout this entire journey that you are our focus and you are the meaning of this entire campaign. Our greater goal, God, has always been to focus on you and to cry out to you as a congregation. And now, God, we simply respond in obedience to your leading. And we thank you for the opportunity to give in your name and for your name. So bless the outcome, Lord, in the way you deem best and right. And we will do our best to use the resources wisely and prudently. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this great journey. And thank you for the great people we share it with. And we ask all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen and amen.